640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
そしては被害状況の確認を行うとともに、
That's Japan's chief cabinet secretary announcing at least one crew member was killed when a U.S. military aircraft went down in southwest Japan today. Reporter Lucy Kraft has details from Tokyo.
Eyewitnesses told Japan's state news network that the U.S. military Osprey was attempting to land at an airport on the small island of Yakushima when it suddenly flipped over, burst into flames, and crashed into the ocean about 600 miles southwest of Tokyo. Japan's defense ministry said the aircraft was assigned to Yokota Air Base in Tokyo and was headed for the southern island of Okinawa.
Japan's Coast Guard says at least two of the other six people on board were recovered from the water. No word on their conditions. An expanded six-day truce between Israel and Hamas is set to expire at the end of today, and negotiations are underway to try to extend it with the goal of releasing more hostages. Ruby Chen's 19-year-old son, Itai, is among the Americans still being held.
The fact that he is a U.S. citizen, maybe that gives him maybe an extra layer of protection, but I don't think it matters too much to Hamas.
So far, just one American has been released. Lawmakers in the House are debating another effort to expel New York Congressman George Santos. Correspondent Scott McFarlane from Capitol Hill.
There are people who voted no the last time this came up who say they are now a yes. He's been charged with federal crimes for months now. He's had a trial date on the calendar for some time, but it's that House Ethics Committee report released this month which seemed to change the trajectory and change some minds, potentially a sufficient number of minds.
Life expectancy is rebounding post-pandemic. The CDC released new data this morning showing the number of years you can expect to stick around is now 77 and a half, a jump of more than a full year. The government attributes four-fifths of it to a drop in COVID deaths. Pope Francis has canceled a planned trip to Dubai this week for the COP28 climate talks. Reporter Sabina Castelfranco is in Rome.
The announcement was made by the Vatican following advice by his doctors due to a flu and lung infection. The Vatican said the Pope's general clinical condition has improved, but the Pope agreed not to go ahead with his trip with great regret.
An entrepreneur is pulling up some of his stakes in the sports game.
I give you total credit, and I think you guys have done some brilliant things.
Mark Cuban of Shark Tank fame is working on a deal to sell a majority of his stake in the Dallas Mavericks to the family that runs Las Vegas Sands Casino for a reported $3.5 billion. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
There's excitement surrounding Carroll University basketball this year. Head coach Lindsay Schultz and the Pioneer women are fired up to deliver another...
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. As expected, this year's gun deer harvest in Wisconsin was lower than last year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources says the number of deer registered was more than 17% lower than last year and about 11% lower than the five-year average. Wardens say it's evidence that earlier bow seasons are getting more popular.
Over half of our total deer hunting population in Wisconsin now also hunts with archery equipment, whether that be bow or crossbow.
Jeff Pritzel is the DNR's deer specialist. People who heat their homes with natural gas might be looking at lower bills this winter. The U.S. Energy Information Administration says it expects a 21% drop in natural gas home heating costs this coming season. Madison-based Alliant Energy says it's because of large natural gas reserves. Also, winter in Wisconsin is forecasted to be mild. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks win in Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the Heat went at it back and forth in the final minute. Milwaukee pulled away with the win, 131-124. Chris Middleton got hot down the stretch and talked about the team headed to the NBA's in-season tournament in Las Vegas.
It was good. Completed the task of, you know, getting to Vegas. Now we got to do a little bit more. You know, we're hungry for it. We won it. It's exciting times for us to go to Vegas for the first, you know, in-season tournament. So we're happy about that.
College football, after 3 years, Braylon Dylan Allen has played his last regular season game for the Badgers. Allen announcing he's decided to become eligible for the NFL draft. He's from Fond du Lac and converted from linebacker to running back, and was asked about his 2-touchdown performance last weekend against Minnesota.
It was good. I'm just happy that we won the game and the team played well. Definitely could have done more, do my job well.
That's Wisconsin running back Braylon Allen. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine today with highs around 38. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 26 tonight. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs around 40. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's Wednesday, November 29th. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. Maybe you're listening on the app, maybe on social media where we stream on some Facebook pages, some Twitter pages, a YouTube page, or you're listening later by podcast, however you got here. We appreciate it. I got a question for you. What is news? I mean, seriously, how much of the news should be what you want to know about, and how much of it should be what someone else thinks you need to know about? Because it's really just that question alone that helps explain a media landscape that is divided up like never before. And therefore, it's worthwhile to talk about, you know, what your priorities are in news and what are the priorities that newsrooms set. And we could not have a more clear example than in two different stories coming out of the state capitol. And I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Let me tell you what else is on tap this morning. Melissa Baldoff will be here later this hour with our climate check. There is a major global climate conference about to get underway, and we'll talk about the central issue there, and that is how big a difference it makes if the Earth's temperature is 1.5 degrees Celsius warmer than it was prior to the Industrial Revolution. Little number, big difference. Also, in our second hour, when some legislators decided earlier this year to substantially increase the amount of tax dollars going to private school vouchers, did they really know just how much they were draining away from the public schools within their own legislative districts? Well, someone has run the numbers, and we're going to talk about what it means, share some of the highlights of the damage that's being done, and we'll be joined by State Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire as well, who has some thoughts on the way that some of her Republican colleagues have been skimming money away from public schools. We'll get the weatherology forecast next hour from meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. She's got weather updates, of course, all throughout the day here across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll talk to Todd Alba, because it's Wednesday, and that's what we do. Find out what he's doing on his show that you hear weekdays from noon to 2 all across the state of Wisconsin. And while you're listening here, if you have some input that you'd like to share, you can call or text us at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Our email address is radio at upnorthnewswi.com.
And that's not even our secret email. That's the one everybody gets. Same email for everybody. And if you're watching on Facebook, you can leave a comment underneath our live video feed. And if we see it there, we may put it up on screen and respond to it as well. 6 o'clock temperatures around the state look like this. It is 20 up here on Lake Wissota. Everybody is a good 10, 15 degrees warmer, I put in quotes, than yesterday's single digit and sometimes below zero readings. Hayward's at 14 compared to 1 yesterday at this time. Park Falls is at 17, Wausau 14. Green Bay, it's 21 degrees, La Crosse 22. Wisconsin Rapids 18, Oshkosh 21 degrees, Madison 23, and it's 21 right now in Waukesha, where we find Mr. Greg Bach standing by, spinning the dials and twisting the knobs that make this show come from Lake Wissota down to Waukesha and out to whatever Victrola you happen to be listening to this morning. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning. Again,
got to get one old man reference at some point. Victrola is today's word of the day.
Make sure you throw some water on that wire to make sure the radio works.
No, don't put any waters on wire at all. How are things down there this morning?
It's warm as compared to yesterday. Holy cow.
Yeah. Yesterday was it hurt.
Yeah.
It hurt to go outside.
It is mean.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Yep.
And then when you yesterday you said a -2, I was like,
yeah. Yep. Bad words almost came out.
Yeah.
2 below, 3 below in Black River Falls yesterday at about this time. Do you, because you're much closer than I am to the Wisconsin State Fair and the legendary cream puffs, are you a cream puff fan when you're at the State Fair?
I find them to be, and maybe it's because I've been around it for so long and I haven't had a lot of them, but I'm sorry to the listeners. You can email me at pat.kreitlow at iamthegovernor.us.org.
God, how did he guess that?
Yeah. They're not my jam. I know people love them and that's good on you, but they're just not my jam. It's sweet cream on a fluffy thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't jam.
Yeah, I mean it's bread and whipped cream.
Yeah,
when it comes down to it, if the cream puff isn't made just right, I will absolutely acknowledge that other people find it to be this amazing delicacy. And the reason I bring it up is that the newsletter that Christina Laurie puts together for us at Up North News today has an article about whether the best cream puffs in Wisconsin actually come from a small town gas station. In Johnson Creek, there's a place there that apparently people say their cream puffs are extremely popular. And I wouldn't know, because again, it's kind of like croissants would be a good example. Cream puffs are an example. A bagel is another example. When something's supposed to be made a certain way to be authentic, but instead it's not made right and it's just a hunk of bread.
Yeah,
it's just the worst. And a bagel to me would be the best example. It's not a lot of authentic bagel places, bagel joints in Wisconsin. So when I get one, it's great. It's just the right amount of chewiness, mm-hmm. a little crunchy, And other times it's like, no, this is a circular piece of bread. And the same goes for those cream puffs and croissants.
Yeah.
Look how snobby we are this time of the day already.
Hey, we get to have opinions too.
That's right, and that's exactly.
But I love a good warm croissant that has a little too much butter in the mix. You mm-hmm. bite into it, and you're like, "Oh, this is heaven."
I got friends who have tried to make croissants once or twice.
Yeah,
and look, I'm all in favor. Anybody wants to do cooking or baking, I mean, you go for it. Yeah, go have fun. But boy, that's for all the layers that are involved in a croissant, all the rolling and everything else. That one strikes me as just a little too labor intensive when you can go to a good bakery and get something like that.
I just think, I feel like, if it's going to take me 2 hours to make it, another 20, 25 minutes to bake it, and then I'm going to eat it in 30 to 40 seconds.
Yep. It's not really a good investment.
I'm going to a deli.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Good. Now we know that. Well, now that Greg has given away my email address, I want to talk a bit more about the email, quote unquote, controversy. again, about Governor Tony Evers having an email address with a different alias, a different username. But, you know, it still comes to his office. So I couldn't help but notice that some TV stations around Wisconsin were making a big deal of this yesterday. And here is my question for them. Did you cover about 2 weeks ago when Dan Schaefer at the recombobulation area, when he threw open records requests, discovered that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the reason he wasn't at the special session of the legislature last month was because he had snuck away and was at a resort in Brazil for a conference. Did you mention that story at all? Did you give it any airplay? Were you even aware of it? Or do you just take what was spoon-fed through, you know, other wire services and things like that? If you didn't play that story up, but you're playing up the fact that governors and other politicians have alias email addresses so they can get some work done, you really need some time for self-reflection on what you prioritize and what you want the news to be. Now, as an official old man, I come down squarely on the side of gatekeepers and news. That a journalist, a good journalist, like any other craftsman, like anybody else who cares about their job, in this case, is looking for stories that are important to voters, that are important to citizens, that are important to taxpayers, that are important to parents, and puts those out there. And that's exactly the kind of thing Dan Schaefer was doing with his story about the speaker, the most powerful Republican in the state, the most powerful man in the legislature, abandoning his post. And it would be, look, legislators go to conferences all the time. Say so. Say, hey, I'm not going to be there, Governor. I know you called this special session, but no, there was no word about that coming out. And it took Dan Schaefer to do a little looking around to see that Speaker Voss had actually flown out a couple of days earlier. Meanwhile, all these folks are in the Capitol, primarily parents and daycare providers. They are looking for relief from the legislature. The session gets gaveled in and gaveled to adjournment within seconds. And nobody saw Robin Voss, but nobody, you know, thought, well, he's just ignoring, you know, the governor. No, he's at a resort in Brazil at some conference. That's news. That's something that constituents deserve to know about the leader of the legislature. The fact that a governor has an email alias, as I mentioned yesterday, so did I as a state senator. All the members of the legislature, past governors, have as well. It's not that it's not news at all. It is, however, an illustration that we don't talk enough about how open records requests work. Because people continue to say, well, if the Governor Evers was using the warren.spawn, you know, at wisconsin.gov address, how do we know that, you know, when we did an open records request of the governor, that we got all those emails? Because that's how open records requests work. I mean, you could just as easily ask, how do we know all the other emails from the Governor Evers account weren't handed over? Because it's not handled by the governor. It's not even handled by the governor's staff. Open records requests are handled by a different office, a different entity. I believe it's the Legislative Technical Services Bureau or something like that. And they're the ones who actually would give out, you know, the aliases, the email accounts and everything else. And when they get these requests, they follow them to the letter. They have to. That's their job. But if that's where your priority is, instead of the Assembly Speaker abandoning constituents and his post, some of these newsrooms better be getting on the phone with Dan Schaefer and saying, hey, come on, talk about that story with us. We'll pause here. We'll have some more unpacking of the news, talk a little Bidenomics as well in just a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning, when you're here, you're up north. Back in just a bit.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry into something new, or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue, or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K, U-K, U-K.
Talk about George Harrison coming up later this hour and today's history lesson. First, let's check sports at 6:20 on this Wednesday morning. That would lead us to the Milwaukee Bucks. They were playing last night in Miami. Giannis scored 33 points, Damian Lillard 32, and the Bucks rallied in the fourth quarter to beat the Miami Heat 131-124 on Tuesday night to clinch a home quarterfinal game next week in NBA's first ever in-season tournament. The Bucks won their group with a perfect 4-0 record. It means they will host the New York Knicks next Tuesday for a chance to advance to the Final Four in Las Vegas. But this is all embedded inside the regular season where the games continue to go on. So between now and that Knicks tournament game next week, the Bucks will still have games in Chicago tomorrow and at home against Atlanta on Saturday. So, you know, we're doing a couple of different things at once here. So again, Bucks will be at Chicago tomorrow, 7 o'clock tip off, and you can hear the Bucks on News from the Center, WRCE in Richland Center, Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. I've almost got the grasp on this tournament thing, Greg. It appears to be, because it's like we're holding like a rehearsal for the playoffs. You know, it's one of those, because how many times have we said, if the season ended today, well, this is their way of going, okay, let's pretend the season ended today. Here are the top eight teams. And now let's have them whittle down to four, whittle down to two. Yeah. I still don't know the incentive for the players, you know, if they get, you know, so much prize money that they divvy up. I'm sure the answer's out there. I just haven't seen it. And how much of it is that, and how much of it is just, you know, bragging rights to get to do this?
I mean, I think that, well, so it was great is that Todd Alba had Luke Mathers on the show yesterday, and he explained it very well. It's just, it's another way of just kind of like making the beginning of the season fun, because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't care about the beginning of this season. They think it's, you know, it's not going to get good until later in the season, which is early next year. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are definitely incentives. I think it has to do possibly with All-Star maybe appearances. I'm not super, but I will tell you this: it definitely has something to do with this.
Yeah, without a doubt, which, again, I've never quite understood, because we talk about, oh, all the drama's late in the season. If you miss the playoffs in May, I think it is, if you miss the playoffs by one game, well, a loss in November is the same as a loss in April.
Yeah.
You know, every one of those games is supposed to count, is supposed to matter. But, hey, if you need something to, you know, let you know about the stakes, then I guess that's just fine. I know that Dan Schaefer was going to be on one of the programs yesterday. Was he on Ask Goes Wisconsin?
Yeah, he's on. So we have him on every Tuesday at 10:30 for the second half of the first hour.
Okay.
And he was on, and he was talking about what you were discussing.
Well, to give it proper proper framing here, again, Dan's story was, I think, week before last. Great story, yeah. But he'd also had a vacation planned, and so the story breaks, and then he goes on vacation, and he unplugged pretty nicely from what we can tell on his social media, comes back and sees the way that Wisconsin media is playing up the email story, and he was not happy. He's like, wait, I give you this, and you instead, how did he put it here? Here's one. He had several tweets yesterday. What if one of those Warren Spahn emails revealed something like the governor traveling to a tropical location during a special session? That'd really be something, huh? Another one says, we're still paying for the assembly speaker's legal battles over public records relating to the Gableman mess. But yeah, Warren Spahn. Sure, that's the story.
Yeah.
Well done, Dan.
If you go back and as we say, you can listen to all these episodes as a podcast. Listen to the first hour of As Goes Wisconsin from yesterday, the 28th of November. Dan does not hold his frustration back. He is very upset about this because it's a major story. It's at least a major story to look into with regard to Robin Voss. I mean, yeah, right. I mean, as soon as I saw the people reporting the Warren Spahn email, I'm like, this is not going to be a thing. This is not going to be a thing because they're too excited about it, and major news didn't break it first.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so Dan's frustration, very warranted in my opinion.
And again, to me, it kind of holds this, in my mind, it is a double standard. And I don't throw that around loosely, but we've almost come to expect in media circles that Republicans behave badly. That Republicans, you know, will do things like, you know, weasel out of a special session to go to a conference. But if a Democrat were to do something even remotely, you know, close to that, it would be a major hullabaloo. Hullabaloo, another old man word. Write that one down, Greg. Let's move on. Bidenomics. I got a quick question for you. Are you aware that the price of gas has fallen for 60 straight days in the country on average? I didn't, because that's definitely not what we're seeing around here. We're seeing strange volatility. I mean, it's $2.99 one day, and it's, you know, $3.29, you know, the next day, and then it shrinks back down to $3.09. But if you look at the average price of gas nationwide, it's now fallen for 61 straight days. It's now at $3.25 a gallon, according to AAA. That's down 5 cents from a week ago. It's down 26 cents from a month ago. Average gas prices have fallen every day since the peak on September 18th, according to data from AAA. To that end, the president, Joe Biden, is going to be in Colorado today. He'll be talking up Bidenomics. He'll be talking up what's happening in Colorado at a wind tower manufacturer in Pueblo that recently announced an expansion that the White House said was a direct result of investments made by the Inflation Reduction Act. That's a signature part of his economic agenda as manufacturing jobs continue to ramp up across the country. And where he again continues to try to make the case that there's this disconnect between what people are hearing from media reports who love to amplify people's frustrations versus the actual data on wages and prices and things like that. We have learned recently just how close former Vice President Mike Pence was to actually skipping the January 6th joint session of Congress, the one that was interrupted by that, you know, insurrection where people wanted to hang Mike Pence, that he had actually been thinking about skipping it, and it was Pence's own son, a Marine, who had to remind his dad that he vowed to take an oath to uphold the Constitution as he did, as a Marine. And that's what finally made Mike Pence say, yep, he could do it. But apparently, Iowa Senator Grassley, he was all set, Chuck Grassley, he was all set to preside over this Senate case, counting the electoral votes. And what might have happened had Chuck Grassley been there? Had he recognized the fake elector ballots from Wisconsin, Michigan, and other states? it raises a lot of questions about what Chuck Grassley knew and what other members of Congress might have been part of a plot to steal the 2020 election. We'll pause here, and we'll have this week's Climate Check with Melissa Baldoff next. You're up north.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Japan's Coast Guard says at least one person on board a U.S. military aircraft has been killed in a crash. Reporter Lucy Kraft is in Tokyo.
Eyewitnesses told Japan's state news network that the U.S. military Osprey was attempting to land at an airport on the small island of Yakushima when it suddenly flipped over, burst into flames, and crashed into the ocean.
The status of the other five crew members is unknown. Negotiations are underway in the Middle East to try to extend a now six-day-old ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's spokeswoman, Tal Heinrich, on a planned hostage release to day.
We certainly hope that this materializes and that we will see, hopefully, a sixth group of hostages leaving the Gaza Strip.
Lawmakers debating another effort to expel Congressman George Santos.
To set the record straight and put this in the record, I will not be resigning.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill that would automatically update parents on what their child has checked out from the library got a public hearing today. Under the Republican-authored bill, all books checked out in either a public library or school library would be sent to parents. Emily Dittmar is with the Wisconsin Educational Media and Technology Association and a school librarian in Muskego.
With school libraries so understaffed, dedicating so much time to administrative tasks takes the certified librarians away from student interactions.
Dittmar adds that students' checkout history is already available to parents by request. People in Wisconsin feeling generous this time of year are urged to be careful when donating to charity. It's Charity Fraud Awareness Week. Consumer protection officials say you should ask solicitors for their names, addresses, and phone numbers. You should also ask how much of your donation will be used to actually help people. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager, learning the lingo.
Jelly, jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Craigscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Bright sunshine today with highs around 38. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 26 tonight. Partly cloudy tomorrow, highs around 40. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skill through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
It's electric!
We're back now on Up North News. Welcome back to this week's Climate Check, where Melissa Baldoff joins me, and we talk about various things in the news that could affect our climate. Sometimes it's Wisconsin-based, sometimes it's global. Yesterday, for example, we had an entirely separate discussion about a philanthropic group that is helping fund little climate projects along the Lake Michigan shoreline. This time we're going to be more global, and we're going to talk about global temperatures and a global conference that's getting underway in Dubai. So, you know, no shortage of things to talk about. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's, before we get to the conference, I'm just going to tease that what we're going to come back to is that planet Earth here is about to cross what Vox calls a very scary climate change threshold and what happens next. And I really do want to hear your thoughts on this, you know, Paris Agreement target of, you know, 1.5 degrees Celsius, mostly because it gives me a chance to pick on certain politicians who are not scientists, shall we say? And go, oh, 1.5 degrees, what does that matter? So we're going to get to that scary number and the misunderstandings about it in just a bit. But it is one of several large issues about to be talked about in Dubai. It's a United Nations-based conference. What exactly is the meeting and what is it that they hope to achieve?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a meeting that happens every year, and it's, you know, as you mentioned, it's arranged by the United Nations. It's called the Conference of the Parties. This is the 28th one. So you'll see a lot of people talking about it as, you know, COP28, COP28. And it's, you know, it's a way for leaders around the world. So, you know, heads of state, heads of industry to come together and have conversations about how we're going to mitigate the worst impacts of climate change and to handle some, you know, to have some negotiations about how we're going to handle climate change. In 2015, at the end of that meeting was when leaders signed the Paris Climate Agreement, which was, you know, really, you know, groundbreaking and, you know, requires, you know, pretty much every country on the planet to pledge how they will meet goals and cut pollution and update their plans. You know, this is something that famously, you know, President Trump did not want to be a part of. And, you know, we saw, you know, some states join on their own after that. Obviously happy to have, you know, President Biden's leadership and know that we are back on track to joining other countries around the world in doing the right thing here. But, you know, this is, it's a really important commitment that was made with the Paris Agreement. And that is to limit global warming to, you know, no more than 1.5 degrees Celsius. And as you mentioned, we are, you know, on track to be the hottest year on record in 2023 and likely to cross that threshold, which is very dangerous potentially.
Yeah. Now, although in, you know, in this year's case, you won't see as many world leaders. It looks like President Biden will not be attending because of ongoing strife in Israel, Ukraine, and elsewhere. The Pope has just pulled out, you know, based on doctor's orders. The leaders of China and Russia probably won't be there. On the other hand, if that means instead of, you know, leaders posing for the cameras that,
you know, some of their emissaries are actually, you know, in the room getting things done, that's probably a more productive use of that conference time.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not to suggest that the United States won't have a significant presence there. We know that the Secretary of State will be there. We know that John Kerry, who's a special envoy and works, you know, with these issues around climate change, will be there, as well a number of other senior leaders who have close ties to the president and to the White House. So I think that's, you know, a pretty good signifier of the fact that this is an issue that is incredibly important to the president, and he is committed to building on the historic actions that, you know, the administration has already taken to tackle the climate crisis.
And there's also, I would think, at a conference like this, there's always at first the talk about cost. What does it cost to move away from fossil fuels? What does it cost to mitigate damage? What does it cost to help very low-income countries who can't afford on their own to switch from fossil fuels or to do damage? But I certainly get the sense that the conversation also turns toward the opportunities that are involved, not just, you know, the satisfaction of trying to solve a problem, but, you know, the jobs that can be created, the new technologies, the opportunity for investors and things like that. So, like you said, although this is the 28th one of these types of conferences, it certainly gives the appearance that you kind of feel that shift away from, gosh, how much is this going to cost, to, hey, we could actually get some things done.
Yeah, I think that's right. And, you know, I think too, the question really becomes too, you know, what is the cost of doing nothing, or what is the cost of maintaining mm-hmm. a status quo that has gotten us to the place that we're in? And, you know, like you mentioned, there are some countries that don't have as much ability to invest in, you know, different technologies, but those are also countries that are often harmed the worst and the hardest by this pollution. So, you know, I think that it's really a conversation about what's the cost of not doing anything. And, you know, we know that the fossil fuel industry is really causing so much of the damage when it comes to pollution and so much of the harm. And, you know, we know that these companies are still hitting record profits. You know, they are worried about their bottom lines. And really, we need to be having these conversations of how to hold them accountable, how to reduce our reliance on fossil fuel and create more opportunities for these new technologies that are cleaner and safer.
So let's get to the benchmark that they're all working toward. And that is ideally 1.5 degrees Celsius, or at least somewhere below 2 degrees Celsius warmer than the pre-industrial revolution, basically around the 1880s or so. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but I would contend, you know, 5 degrees doesn't sound like a big deal. But if you and I had a fever that was 5 degrees warmer than we are right now, mm-hmm. that would make a big difference. And so it goes with the planet, right? Can you tell us more about the significance of this temperature number, how it's risen in these past, you know, just about 150 years?
Yeah. So, I mean, it does sound like it's not, you know, not too much. And, you know, then you've got people like, you know, Ron Johnson saying like, oh yeah, it's great if it's a little bit warmer and that'll be good for Wisconsin. You know, people will come on over. But we know it's actually very harmful that the global temperature is rising. And, you know, this is month after month, we are breaking records this year to be the hottest year measured in human history. So what does that mean? You know, obviously it means heat waves, which are dangerous and deadly on their own. And having extreme heat in a place like Wisconsin, where we're not all equipped to handle that, you know, not everywhere has air conditioning, not every home, not every business, not every school for sure. But, you know, it contributes to other really harmful effects too. It's creating droughts, which is bad for our farmers and folks in the agricultural industry, and excessive rainfall and flooding, which we've already talked about, you know, at length here, the harm, you know, again, to the agriculture industry, to small businesses, homes, schools, experiencing these extreme flooding conditions. And, you know, that's what's caused by the rising temperatures. So rising temperatures, you know, means that the waters are getting warmer. It means that the air is getting warmer. You know, it is, everything is getting warmer, and it is changing how our climate responds, and, you know, leading to these adverse conditions that we're experiencing.
And it should note for people to say, well, then how come it isn't warmer all the time? And again, neither one of us is a meteorologist, but what they would tell you is when you warm everything and you warm certain, you know, spots of the globe, it just means that as weather patterns develop, they start off already that much more powerful, that much more, you know, imbalanced when you have a temperature change, when something goes from, well, there's warm and cold. Well, now there's very warm and cold. And that leads to weather systems that, again, get out of hand rather quickly. You have temperatures that are rising well below, you know, sea level in the oceans. You have the coral reefs that are bleaching, and all of the damage that is done there to the aquatic life, and then the imbalance that simply spreads from there. Now, we say all that, and you're suddenly overwhelmed. And you're like, okay, you know, we're talking about, you know, bleaching of the Great Barrier Reef. We're talking about Antarctica. What can we possibly do here? But how many times we're going to say it? We're going to say it till it sinks in. The only way this gets solved is by individual countries, individual people, individual communities, individual states. I mean, it seems right now, Melissa, like the governors of Wisconsin and Michigan, among others, are kind of in a contest to who can start to do more to ramp down, you know, the amount of fossil fuels they use. That's a nice contest to be in.
It certainly is. And, you know, I think, you know, how lucky our neighbors in Michigan are to have a legislature that is not working against Governor Whitmer, and you know, how lucky we would be in Wisconsin to have a legislature that understands, you know, the seriousness of what we're dealing with, and is willing to work with the governor to actually get some things done, and you know, to not stand in the governor's way, you know, and say, if they don't want to be a part of this, if they can't bring themselves to acknowledge that climate change is real and we need to do something about it, then they can at least get out of the way and let the adults do something about it.
Yeah. And, you know, there's an article here from Vox about it, and they conclude with, you know, some of the good news that we've known about for decades now. It's a very basic formula for curbing climate change. You reduce greenhouse gas emissions, you negate the effects of warming, you try to pull carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, from something as basic as planting a lot of trees to all the other new technologies that are being tried. And they conclude by saying, there have never been more tools to limit emissions. They've never been cheaper, and they're getting better all the time. So it's right to sound the alarm that we need to keep at this. We need to, frankly, develop things faster. We need leadership. And hopefully, although, again, it's not necessarily with heads of state, hopefully we're seeing some of that leadership in Dubai this week.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it is such a challenge. But like you said, we know how to solve it. And we have the tools. And it is, in many cases, it's a matter of will to get this done. So I think that's why it's so important to keep having these conversations, because, you know, of course, scientists are always learning, and they will continue to find new ways to innovate and new technologies to, you know, make this a transition that is one everyone can work with. But, you know, for now, we do know so much of what needs to happen. And it's just a matter of getting it done, and, you know, holding some of these corporations accountable for their actions.
Melissa Baldoff, thanks so much. I have to ask, you worked in the governor's office. What was your secret email name? Was it like Amelia Earhart? Was it? I said yesterday, mine, a lot of people were surprised why. Mine was georgesantos@wisconsin.gov. I don't suppose you had a secret email name you want to share?
No, I didn't. Although I guess if if I had to, if you put me on the spot and told me I had to pick one right now, I would probably, you know, I'll just take a page from the governor and go with my favorite athlete, Steve Young, former San Francisco 49ers quarterback. So maybe I would have been Steve Young at Wisconsin.gov.
We just have to have fun at the ridiculousness of the story. Melissa, thanks for being a good sport. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll be back right after this. You're up north.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way. I think it's more about your Q-tip action and...
Phrasing, Jane. The way you're saying it just sounds like one big double entendre.
Delicately in the crevices. Oh,
God. As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Oh, the shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white.
Bobby Darin, of course. Just it was on this day in 1959 that they held the second annual Grammy Awards, and Bobby Darin won the award for Best New Artist and Record of the Year for Mac the Knife, which was still a number one song on this day in 1959. The words, words like legend and classics sometimes get thrown around loosely. Mac the Knife, classic, always going to be around. Let's see. Let's do some birthdays here. Happy 83rd birthday to Greg Chuck Mangione. Do we call him a trumpet player? Is it a flugel trumpet? What? I don't know my instruments.
He plays the flugelhorn.
Flugelhorn. Okay. Yep. Happy 83rd birthday to flugelhorn player Chuck Mangione. So many other songs, but you know, you get that one that's a hit for however many weeks it was, and I mean, now you've just got to play it everywhere. He'll never escape that song.
Released the same month I was born.
Really?
This song came out on December, I believe, the 8th, 1977. I was born 4 days later.
And look, you're both aging so well.
Okay, that just didn't feel like a compliment at all.
Don Cheadle has a birthday today, born this day in 1964, so happy 59th birthday. Welcome to the club, Don. Born this day in 1976, two celebrities, one no longer with us, Chadwick Boseman would have been 47 today, but he passed away 3 years ago, and actress Anna Faris is 47 as well. Yeah, I mean, you talk about celebrity passings that still bum you out, you know, after all these years.
I have not. I don't think I've watched Black Panther since he died. It was just too much.
Yeah. On this day in 1969, we bring up the Beatles. They show up a lot in music history. Well, part of it's for this reason. They had 27 of their songs go to number one on the charts. And on this day in 1969, songs 24 and 25 hit the top of the charts. They were the A and B sides of a single. The B side was Come Together. And for the first time for the band, a George Harrison composition was on the A side with this number one hit something.
Something in the way she moves.
And we've played a little George Harrison already, and we will for most of the rest of the show here, because in a sad coincidence, this is also the anniversary of George Harrison's passing, passing away of lung cancer on this day in 2001 at the age of 58. Mm. Which, again, as somebody who just turned 59, it just kind of hits you, the people who whose lives ended far too soon. And it just doesn't feel like 2001.
No.
It feels like, you know, we lost George Harrison more recently. On this day in 1975, the number one hit was by a German group called Silver Convention.
The video is amazing.
The video is awesome. And of course, it is a lyrical masterpiece. Fly, Robin, fly. And here are the only other words of English they knew. That's it. There were these three ladies from Germany who knew no English. They were given these two lines, sing them over and over again. We'll put a disco track behind it. It'll be magic, baby. And it was. It went to number one.
Love it.
Tells you about the year 1975.
We were bereft for music.
Tells you everything that you want to know. On this day in 1972, Atari released Pong, the first commercially successful video game. And I promise you, as somebody who saw it back when it was released in 1972, it was the big thing at Christmas time that year. I was, 8 years old? Sorcery. It was absolute sorcery that something could appear on your TV besides something that came through a TV camera, that you could play a game on your TV, which, for folks not aware, it was basically a black screen. You're playing kind of hockey with a white rectangle on one side and a white rectangle on the other side and a little white dot for a ball or a puck. And you would move the control and the thing would go up and down. And again, it was like a wizard had you know, just cast a spell on your TV. And now you look at the games that are being played and, you know, I mean, Pong was hieroglyphics by a caveman on the wall by comparison. But it was a big, big deal back in the day. I love when Greg is just speechless.
I got nothing to add to that. I wasn't around for Pong. I remember the first thing we had Atari, and mm-hmm. like you'd play football, and all the little football guys were square, and the ball was square.
I love anytime I stumble upon somebody putting up old video game graphics and sounds and music and things like that. I love that. We're going to do that one day just for bumper music. It's just going to be classic video game sounds.
Oh, I'm down.
Number one song this day in 1980 was by ABBA. On this day in 1947, in case you're wondering how long have things been, you know, unstable in the Middle East? Well, on this day in 1947, the United Nations approved a plan for the partition of Palestine, which put into effect something from 1917, the Balfour Declaration, which was part of breaking up the Ottoman Empire at the end of World War I. So what this all comes down to is what's happening there today, which I'm not making light of it. It's very serious. But we really are still going through the breakup of the Ottoman Empire and who gets what land, you know, not just there, but you're talking about, you know, when Yugoslavia was going through all of its problems about 30 years ago, all of that, when you have these massive empires that the Ottoman Empire was around for 600 years, you know, before World War I. So we are still going through the, whatever you want to call it, the after effects of, you know, global conflict. Number one song this day in 1986 was by Bon Jovi.
Shut up!
It up. I sometimes wonder whether we could get away with just at the end of each hour of just picking a song and clocking out early and saying, you know what, we're about to go to news and commercials anyway, so let's just rock out for 5 minutes. What do you say?
I'm down.
I would go with that. Although I also realize that, you know, Facebook and some of these other social media sites, sometimes they don't recognize that we're a radio show and that we have a license, you know, to play music.
Yeah.
So every so often we get this note, you know, that says, oh, no, you can't play that. Well, we just did. And we'll play more in our next hour. You're up north.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.